Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got more Ravi in the sports coming up. Also have news as well. I'll tell you first about Madison Reed. Madison Reed, as in Madison Reed Mister, people. That's right. Madison Reed makes high-quality products for the ladies, for coloring the hair. Lynette loves this stuff, and no shoe polish look. And I think Gina used it on occasion herself. Now they got Madison Reed Mister. Well, that's for the fellas. So that's where you can get the hair and the beard and you can get them nicely blended in. I got before and after shots. You can take a look at them online. Go to Madison Reed Mister and take a look at what those look like. You get your color. You match the color to the color of your natural hair. You put a little dollop in your gloves. You rub your hands together. You put your fingers through your hair. Quick, easy. You just do the color gel. Do the activator, let it sit for 10 minutes, and rinse and shampoo. Plus, they'll deliver it right to your door. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code ADAM10 for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code ADAM10.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, let's start with a little Kanye, because we're not done with him, especially in the presidential realm. Election day, very close by. Kanye West has finally released his much-anticipated presidential campaign ad. It's about 90 seconds long, and religion is really the only issue he brings up. The ad just kind of shows Kanye staring off in the middle distance. You could tell he's reading off of a cue cards or something.
It's equal parts stock footage, cue cards, and green screen.
Yeah, we see a generic image of flags and outer space and oceans and families praying. There's a few photos of Kanye, and it ends saying, "Write in Kanye West." Here's the ad. Here's as much of it as you'd like to see. It's about less than 90 seconds.
America. What is America's destiny? What is best for our nation, our people? What is just? True justice. We have to think about all these things together as a people. To contemplate our future, to live up to our dream, we must have vision. We as a people will revive our nation's commitment to faith, to what our Constitution calls the free exercise of religion, including, of course, prayer. Through prayer, faith can be restored. We as a people are called to a greater purpose than ourselves. We are not only a beacon to the world, but we should be servants to each other, to encourage each other, to help each other, to lift up each other,
all right, we got
our
it.
Fellow Americans.
Oh, are you sure? Now, you sure you got it?
Given our current choices, Kanye would be kind of a... I could see writing him in.
Well, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited, because he's only on the ballot in 12 states. So even if he won all those, he'd only have 84 electoral votes. He needs about 270 to win, and he isn't polling higher than 2%. But Brian, Brian and Ravi might be more familiar with this, but doesn't it look like his ad was done by Goalcast? Am I wrong?
What is Goalcast?
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is. It's that. It's, you know, oh. You'll see, you know, somebody give a commencement speech or something. And then there's lots of like cuts of like generic families doing things and people swimming and music.
They do these PSAs.
Yeah. Yeah, right. To that point, Adam, number one, you should be thrilled. Candidate platitude has finally come to life.
That's right. Oh.
Number two, I had the opportunity for the first time in my life, I don't know, 2, 3, 40 years ago, whatever it was, to see a bunch of Kanye West music videos. I don't make a habit of watching a lot of music videos these days, but I saw like 10 or 12 in a row. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked at how cheap they were. There was a lot of green screen, a lot of just him in front of images that just kept changing. And like, this is that. This is just the extension of like his music. I mean, this is more solemn, I guess. But like, I was shocked at how cheap they were for a guy who's super rich.
Gary's going to come over and beat your
ass. I'm sure he would agree with me. Yeah. I'm not talking about the songs. I'm talking about the cheap videos.
Well, I think this would be a good example of getting some sort of B-roll going for us right now, because I want to see what this green screen thing is, or just more of Adam's childhood home.
Put that in the background.
I think I would probably vote for Kanye over Trump if I had to. I mean, feels like he could have a moment. Feels like, I mean, if he gets his mental health in order, I think
our first president to be 51,
probably be
50.
less.
Yeah, I don't. Is he still? Is he still with the Kardashian? I mean, are they going to break up? Like, don't they have to break up? Here's a question.
What lazy goss that says it's so obvious you don't give a shit while also expressing interest. No,
what I'm saying is you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton probably haven't slept in the same bedroom in 25 years, right?
Sure.
I'm trying to think when he's president. The point is this. They have so many different houses spread out all over the land with so much. Do you think they go to bed every night and sleep in the same bed? Or do you think he's in Montana and she's in Maui? And they're just going, fuck it. It's a business. We'll just kind of keep this going.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking the heavens.
I have no idea what's going on over there. I don't even know what's real. The whole thing looks like a clown show.
Right. I mean, I don't know what's real
most
either.
Most of the stuff that's in the news looks like a clown show to me, but that I can't relate to any of that. I can't relate to the public image of the Kardashians. I can't relate to any of the stuff Kanye's doing right now. It's all just like very much the time we live in, which is noise.
All right, Gina. Well, find us a nice Gal Gadot story.
I do. I have one right here.
Wonder Woman.
Well, I'd love to say it's a nice story, but I think it'll make your blood boil just a little. So Gal Gadot has been cast as Cleopatra in an upcoming movie, but some critics think that it should have gone to another actress, maybe not such an Israeli actress. The star, who is Israeli, made the announcement Sunday, saying she'll be reuniting with her Wonder Woman director, Patty Jenkins, to tell the Egyptian, well, they say the Egyptian queen story, for the first time through a woman's eyes. A lot of people had thoughts. One that I pulled out was Samira Khan, a journalist, tweeted, "Which Hollywood dummy thought it would be a good idea to cast an Israeli actress as Cleopatra, a very bland-looking one at that, instead of a stunning Arab actress like Nadine Najem? And shame on you, Gal Gadot. Your country steals Arab land, and you're stealing their movies." Shake my head. It wasn't pointed out to a lot of these people that Cleopatra was Greek. She ruled in Egypt and was the only ruler I could find on record that bothered to learn Egyptian or any other language. She spoke many languages when everyone else just kind of came and conquered and ruled and had an interpreter. But that, of course, in these divisive days, this is now a problem.
I was talking to my friend, Kevin Hench, who I enjoy talking to while we eat steaks, but this was over the phone.
Yeah, in the good old days.
He's got a couple of shows and, of course, has to go through the corporate seminar thing with the diversity speeches and all the Me Too stuff. He was informed at his latest one the other day, you can no longer say dreadlocks. Dreadlocks is considered offensive.
Well, what? Really? Why is that?
Do tell.
I guess because it has dread in it. And I don't know what the origin story dreadlocks are, but I guess it's like locks of dread. And somehow that's a negative connotation on a Rastafarian or something. And no more dreadlocks.
Well, that's a bummer because I literally said dreadlocks today. Because it's the only part of my role in Wonder Woman that I can talk about is that I have dreadlocks in it or what did they pitch an alt? What am I supposed to
That's
say?
That's the whole thing. Say,
apparently you're supposed to say locks or twisted hair.
Nobody knows. If I say I have twisted hair, does anyone know what I'm talking about?
They started in ancient Greece.
Really?
It all
goes
back
to
the Greeks.
Wikipedia right now.
Twisted hair did?
What we know is dreadlocks today. Yes.
How the fuck? How's that gonna work? Like when you're talking to the stylist and they go, "How are you wearing your hair? Locks,
twisted,
and bagel,
Goldie,
dreadlocks."
Yeah.
Well, and this is the name dreadlocks come in part from the idea of fear or dread of God. So it's like a reverence to God. So I don't know who decided it was a bad word.
That's a deep cut when you start going into the twisted hair words. That's exhausting.
I know. Things have titles. Things have names. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't have to be offensive. I don't know how many guys who work on Last Man Standing have dreadlocks, but I'm guessing not a lot of guys in the writer's room.
Yeah, no. Whose feelings are hurt? The people with the hair?
The people with the hair, you would have to explain to them that they were insulted because they tell everyone they have dreadlocks.
Maybe they're the only ones who's allowed to say dreadlocks. Like, maybe it's their word.
Oh, it's their N-word. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know.
What up, a dreadlock?
So, not only your character wore dreadlocks in Wonder Woman?
Hey, you said it, Adam. I'm not, you know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I just had hair. You know, and I don't even want to tell you specifically what kind, because I think that would be offensive.
So, well, then let's talk about this. This is a weird thing. So dreadlocks came from Greece, did you say?
Yeah. Can we get more information here?
This is a bizarre circle we're finding here with Cleopatra and dreadlocks and.
Yeah.
All right. So talk about your character then. What can you tell?
That's literally all I can tell you is that I'm in the movie and I worked with all these cool people and. You know, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to talk about the dreadlocks. I mean, I guess I'm sure now that I shouldn't. But, you know, they were pretty aggressive in telling me I'm not allowed to talk about the role. I don't know. It was a cool movie, and it was cool to be around those people.
It's coming out Christmas. Did we try to figure that out?
It's supposed to come out in December, but...
It supposed to come out during the summer?
Yeah, I think it was... Yeah,
June 5th. Well, it was pushed back from 2019 to June 5th, I believe it was, and then
I know it's been pushed a couple times.
Is your character funny?
You know, I would say that he's probably supposed to be funny, and I'm not sure that he is. We'll see.
See how the editing went.
I don't really know. Yeah, I mean, I'm in it. I think a decent amount, and I think I'm, you know, I play a somewhat pivotal, you know. Moment in the story, but again, they were really adamant on me not talking about it, which I've never had before, which I guess is good news when you can't even talk about it.
Yeah, that's good. Or means you're in a fucking lot of trouble. Like if Mark Gargas goes, you cannot talk about this, blah blah blah, then it means you're fucked because the government's looking into you or whatever it is. So it's like it's good news, bad news. It means you've either arrived or you're being indicted for embezzlement.
Yeah, we'll know I've made it if this dreadlocks thing catches fire for me. I'm fingers crossed.
Look around for see if there's
Patel
anything
canceled for first hair related offense.
If there's anything on the internet, these things are getting so goddamn inane now that when Kevin was telling me you can't say dreadlocks, I just stood there. I just kept going, why? I don't. What does that mean? I don't know what it means.
And to that point, like yesterday, literally, and I could pull it up, but it'll just anger everybody. You know, you get articles suggested to you on Facebook and stuff. And one that was suggested to me was it was like BuzzFeed's 20 actors that should have thought twice before accepting these roles. And I was like, I'm intrigued because, you know, clickbait is great. Yeah. And it was
Ravi,
you know,
Patel, number one.
Rastafarian Ravi.
It was, you know, Oscar winners. It was, you know, Eddie Redmayne, cisgendered male, dares to play, you know, the main role in The Danish Girl. And it's like, I don't think you know what acting is. Like, I think he won an award for that.
Yeah, we gotta get over ourselves.
No, it's tricky. Also, like 80% of my career is just very hack, like stereotypical stuff. I mean, it's you get what you do what you can just to get a career going, right?
Hell yeah. I'd be doing gay porn right now if I had it my way. All right, let me hit red cap.
Hold up, what? I'm sorry, what?
I've played a very diverse, many diverse roles in my storied career. I think that's what I said. We can check the tape
after
the show.
Congratulations. Big fan.
Well, let me hit red cap here. Comfort done right, making workwear and uniforms since 1923 for the essential workers, making our communities thrive. Clothing for many industries, automotive, culinary, manufacturing, waste management, oil block coveralls, resist engine fluids. Oil just beads up and rolls right off. Latest project is the Road Heroes Project. That's the truckers, man. The trucker tab, $50,000 tab at Cracker Barrel to feed our long haulers. And you can check it out at truckertab.com. These guys, by the way, 3.5 million truckers in the U.S. alone. And these guys are the ones who are keeping their shelves stocked and your businesses.
Talk about essential workers.
Essential. And they don't get the thanks that a lot of other folks do. So you can go and you can donate. Just go to truckertab.com. Red Cap, workwear done right. All right, what else, Gina?
So as Judge Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings divide many people, one thing I know that you, Adam, will relate to about her style is her note-taking. And I know you've been to D.C. You've taken notes. You looked to the left of you and saw Ben Shapiro with, you know, an accordion folder full of notes. Well, Judge Amy Coney Barrett tends to do things more like you do. So Tuesday, observers noted she responded to hours of questioning in judicial matters with no notes. Fox News reported that President Trump's conservative nominee relied on her memory alone for this lengthy questioning process during the second day of her confirmation hearing. After hours of answering questions on her legal philosophy and recalling her own judgments and those of other courts, Senator John Cornyn, he's a Republican from Texas, asked Barrett how she prepared. And check out this clip.
Oh, hold on a second. Yeah. Dreadlocks today, cornrows tomorrow.
I think
Corn does get planted in rows. That is a fact.
But that is a good. That's why you still do what you do.
It's yeah. you're identifying a black person's hairdo.
I have a 3-year-old daughter. What about ponytails? Are they coming for ponytails?
Oh, I hope not.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry. We'll play the clip.
Yeah.
What about just haircuts in general? Okay.
We'll see.
You know, most of us have multiple notebooks and notes and books and things like that in front of us. Can you hold up what you've been referring to in answering our questions? Is there anything on it?
That letterhead that says United States Senate.
That's impressive.
Well, she's got a good brain.
I take notes the same way.
I had that note. I think that's my... did I go to the Senate or was I in Congress? Where was I?
Congress.
I went to Congress. But one of the greatest things is they have a notepad, and the notepad's like the official notepad of Congress. And the first thing I said was, can I take this? Like, this would be the most valuable thing my family owned when I was growing up, mm-hmm. would have been this notepad from Congress.
You went to Congress as a kid?
No, we didn't do a lot of traveling when I was young. You might know by the refrigerator in the middle of the fucking house. We didn't have a whole lot.
You couldn't even get out of the hallway.
I couldn't make it to LAX. I was trapped in my room. I went there about 3 years ago to talk about, I don't know, free speech or something. And that's my mm-hmm. vague recollection of it. The origin of dreadlocks, there's a lot of speculation. No, I guess what I'm asking you, Chris, is it a thing now that you can't say dreadlocks? Is it?
It's not as common as any of the other stuff, but it is becoming a thing. Like, I'm seeing a few articles where they're saying you got to call them the locks. LOC.
So we're early on this movement. That's good.
Yeah,
we could be the front runners on this.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be a good one to jump on board for you. I think that would really throw the crowd off on you. If you go pro, like, don't say dreadlocks, I think people will just be like, this guy's got his own wokeness going on.
Have their eyes open, yeah.
Or maybe we shoot for the stars. We go for the page boy haircut. It's cisgender.
Yeah.
You know, it's gender specific.
The Dutch boy.
The Dutch boy. Anything with boy in it. Page boy, Dutch boy. Sorry. It's got the word boy in it. I have a daughter. She may want to get a page boy haircut one day.
It's got a shot. You're thinking in the right direction.
Right. Cornrows, page boys.
Might just stick with a pixie.
Pixie. Problematic.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then what I do, see, here's how I work this game. You say pixie, yeah. I tell you that's problematic. You say why, I go, if you don't know, I shouldn't have to tell you. And I shake my head and I walk away.
Check your
yeah.
What do you
mean
you don't
know? You're canceled.
Yeah.
Check your privilege.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Check your privilege.
Right.
That does happen, though. People do get canceled for often asking questions. At least in journalism, it's happening.
What's wrong with this kind of thing?
Yeah. That happens. It's ridiculous.
It's scary.
All right, what else you got, Gina Graham?
Well, here's a service I've never heard of, and I doubt you guys have, and it's brilliant. And a very well-known actor has used it and swears by it. John Cryer lost his wedding ring in Vancouver. We were just talking about Vancouver, and found a website called Ring Finders that hooks you up with local metal detector specialists. So Cryer lost his wedding ring while he was walking along the seawall in Vancouver. He looked everywhere. He tweeted all about it. He heard this ping and it was like his ring flying off and it was gone. All he found was a pair of glasses. So he decided to post the glasses on Lost and Found on Craigslist, and he noticed a link for the Ring Finders. It's a directory of these independent metal detector specialists from all over the world who you can hire to find lost jewelry, keys, phones, whatever has metal in it. So John got a call from a local guy. He came out and he found the ring, and he has this long tweet thread about it. And it's funny because it's almost a misdirect. He's, you know, he never asked for his name or anything. And he goes, this guy looked at me and said, Mr. Cryer, can I ask you a question? And you think he's going to say, like, were you on Two and a Half Men or were you Ducky? He pulls something up. He goes, is this your ring? And he found it in the middle of Vancouver. So if you lose a ring, by all means, contact the Ring Finders.
Wow. And good for Ring Finders for, you know, finally unionizing these old men walking around
on the beach.
Yeah. And monetizing. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, the other frontline workers. Those are the unsung heroes of those dudes just walking around. And now they finally have a purpose and they're together as a group. That's just a feel good story right there.
John Cryer was my neighbor in my very first house.
What'd you see?
Oh,
he's
man.
Such a nice guy.
He's a sweetheart of a guy. I think he was kind of newly married, probably a different ring than this gal.
The news chick.
Is he with her?
Yes.
I don't know. Oh, so his first wife was a blonde. He must have married in the mid-90s or
something.
Oh,
Sarah Trigger you're talking about, and Lisa Joyner, who he's married to now.
Sarah Trigger was his first. Yeah, he had a blonde wife. He was real sweet. I think they got divorced. Actually, my two neighbors were Kathy Bates and John Cryer.
Ooh, la la.
Yeah, or maybe John Cryer bought Kathy Bates' house. Yeah, I think Kathy Bates lived across the street from me. And
maybe
sound
like a North Hollywood story, I'll tell you.
No, this is a Hollywood Hills house. And Patrick Dempsey lived right underneath me. And the thing that was funny is you think about it, this is 1990, let's say 7 or 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Dempsey, his career was sort of over in 1998. And John Cryer's career was kind of sliding down the backside a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Ducky Boy and, you know, Patrick was a guy, had some movies and stuff.
Lover Boy
and Ducky Boy, both haircuts that you couldn't do anymore. Right. But they were both like hit a stall in their careers. It's pre whatever, you know, McDreamy and Two and a Half Men. And they're both just kind of like, well, we were bigger stars, you know, 5 years ago, and now we're kind of coasting a little bit. And then they both came back and made oodles of dough on TV shows.
Yeah. And by the way, what are we looking at?
Oh, you're looking.
What house is this?
That is the house that's across the street from my house, but that's not the house he lived in. Oh, maybe it is the house he lived in.
That's the one that he got from Kathy Bates.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I would always see it from the street and it didn't look like so much from the street. My house was the one right behind it. It's got the plate glass window and the refrigerator right in the middle of the living room.
Do we have that shot?
In the hallway.
Do we have that?
Since we're talking about John Cryer and Two and a Half Men, just coming over the wire now, Conchata Farrell just died. She played Berta on Two and a Half Men. Very recognizable actress. You've seen her in a million things.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She's always playing.
She died today.
Oh, she's always playing like the sassy maid and everything, right?
Yeah. And a million movies from, you know, the early 80s on. She had cardiac arrest and they kept her on, I think, dialysis and a respirator. It's not specific of, you know, COVID or anything, but that literally just happened.
How old was she, I wonder?
77.
Hmm. All right. Well, young and old at the same time.
That's a bummer. I have a question about the housing situation. What was the rest of your family's experience as you went from rags to riches. Like, are your parents still around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Your parents are still around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been passing it out? Has that been a source of conflict or joy, or what's been the relationship between your rise in wealth to the rest of your family's
mostly
situation?
Casket based, right?
Yeah. I'd say the jury's still out. Even though it's been 25 years, mixed. My parents don't really know what I do exactly. They know I make money doing something. They don't have a concept of, you know, what I do or all that I do, or even the warehouses or the cars or all that. They don't know about all that stuff.
Are you close?
Yeah, we're super tight. I love them dearly. It's just my dad's allergic to sports cars and I can't bring him around. No, I don't like my parents that much.
Right. And do they like you?
Not fans.
I don't know. If they do, it hasn't manifested itself in any actions. Mm-hmm.
But what's your sibling situation?
They tolerate me.
They do. Okay. Sibling situation?
I have one sister.
Okay. Close to her?
She's a year older. We're getting closer as the years wear on. It was my house was very catch as catch can. She ran away when she was young, so I didn't really know her as well as I would have. And it was a little bit of every man for themselves in my house. So we didn't really we didn't really bond that much. We were both gone like the whole time.
Is that like a source? Tell me if this is too personal.
Go ahead. Ask any questions. Is
any of that like a source of pain for you, you think, at this point? I mean, you're older now, so I have a feeling it's probably not, but is that something that you still are hoping to improve, whether it's your relationship with your sister or with your parents or all of you as a unit?
I don't think my parents have been divorced for a long time. So mm-hmm. I don't think the all of us as a unit thing is on the table.
Right.
My parents are pretty set in their ways in the sense that they're just who they are. That's who they've been. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of bonding or shaping that could take mm-hmm. place because it was never really there in the first place. Like, there's nothing. We're not recapturing something or building on something that we mm-hmm. had a base. You know, I think a lot of people might have a situation where it's like, I used to be really tight with my dad, but then my dad married his secretary and he moved to Florida and I didn't see him for 3 years. And then he wanted to get back into my life, but I wouldn't talk to him. And now he's sick and I want to rekindle. I never had a relationship with my parents. So it's like, there's no like rekindling anything, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
We got a podcast out of it.
That's right. My dad did a podcast.
No, yeah. I'm done with this podcast. Driving force behind this podcast.
That's right. Wait, my anger at my parents. I talk a lot of shit about my parents.
Oh, so I am right about. I mean, there is something there. There is a lot of.
I think Ravi should know that when you wrote your first book, the only question that the publisher had was, "Are your parents litigious people?"
Okay, I'll take a look at this. Okay, so we are touching on something that is actually a great source of pain, whether or not you say it or not. It's clearly a driving force in your life. Do you have fears about manifesting similar dynamics with your kids?
I do sometimes, and I think I tend to kind of overcompensate by not being like my parents as hard as I can.
In what sense?
With my kids. Well, one example, my parents were pretty dour, quiet, kind of depressed people who didn't talk much and didn't celebrate and didn't go out, no joie de vivre, you know? And I'll mm-hmm. come home and I'll see my son sitting on the sofa and I'll go like, it's an awesome day. Isn't it awesome? Don't you love your dog? It's the best dog in the world. Look at that dog. He love your dog. He loved this. This is awesome. And then I go into the room and slam some heroin and cry myself to sleep. But I
You're trying to hype the life at home whenever you can.
I realize what it's like to grow up around people that are depressed. And I realize, you know, we all have our good days and our bad days as adults, but I don't want my kids to see my bad days. You know, I want them to feel like every day is a good day because they're here. And I say stuff to them like all the time. It's like, look, I have arguments with my wife, but I say to them, you got the best mom in the world, right? And they go, yeah. And I go, would you rather have another mom? And they go, no. And I go, good for you. That's good thinking.
Now, I think those are all good qualities because that's just positive. I mean, people want to be around people who, I mean, I actually think that's an important skill set to teach, which is basically optimism and gratefulness. Those are all good things. I would say that it feels like also you want to teach people that you're like human, like especially your kids, do you ever ask them for help in any way? Like, do you ever tell them when you're hurting on something or upset about something and ask for their advice?
I had a interesting, this is, you know, crazy timing, but I walked in my daughter's room before I left for work today, and I had a very like sort of moving conversation with her about being her dad and always being there for her and looking out for her. And, you know, times can be tough, but I'm always going to be there. I'm always going to be your dad. I'm always going to be thinking of you. And I literally had that, and I started to well up with tears. I had that conversation this morning before I left the
house. Do you mind me asking what the impetus was for that conversation? You don't have to be specific, but was it she was going through something and you were trying to show support?
She is my hey, everybody. Terrible. My name's the Ted. I've been going through some stuff. She's been going through some stuff. There's just been some, you know, some of it is blame it on COVID and, you know, just some of that.
Sure.
But there's just been a little stress
and you've had a rough patch
and stuff. And yeah. I just realized that she may feel a little unbalanced by it or feel like I'm a little distant. I mean, also, too, it's like I'm traveling a lot. I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on the road. I'm whatever. I'm not, you know, I just wanted to go, here I am. Here's who I am. Here's who I'm going to be.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Good for you. That must be an incredible feeling as a father.
It's you know, what I always say to everyone is it's free. You know what I mean? Just open the door. Walk into the person's room. Sit down with them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're here for them. Tell them,
is your your persona conflict at home? Your public persona?
I don't know what anyone who lives with thinks of me.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like I'm curious if like the stuff like the tweets and just whenever you do anything that I'm sorry, I'm not familiar enough to know exactly everything that you do, but you're clearly, you know, you say exactly what you feel, and I'm wondering if that ever follows you home in a way that is conflicting, or are you guys pretty much, is that just a separate world for you guys?
Can I address this? Because it's for people, you know, find out work on the Adam Carolla Show over the last however many years. And the first question is like, what's Adam like in real life? And my answer is always like, he's the same guy. He's just like minus 20%. Like he knows he's on the air or on whatever TV, like he plays it up, you know, because it's entertainment, but you know, he's effectively the same guy. So anyway, I just wanted to lay the groundwork.
It is a true thing, Ravi, that people I meet recently, a semi-dangerous trend, which is I talk to someone at some event for half an hour, and then when we're done, they go, oh, you're a really nice guy. And I go, yeah, I am a nice guy. And they go, oh, okay. Well, I guess you can't trust the internet, you know? And I'm like, so I have spoken
I think that
to
comes across.
A few people.
I think that comes across.
Does it?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I don't know you that well. I'm not a regular listener to your show. By the way, I hope that's not insulting. I think you're the fucking, like, I have so much admiration for all of you. But I've spoken to you twice now. I've listened to you enough. And I think I get the sense that you're actually like the sweetest guy there is. Like, I just think
you also are willing. Pull it back a little,
Robbie. No, you seem like a guy who's super sweet. And then you also have, you know, you go on these hot takes, which is what you do for a living, and it's probably authentic to what you actually feel. That's literally your job is to say whatever the thing is that you're thinking, even if you're not necessarily, even if you might change your mind about it later.
But you
don't come off as someone who's a dick in person. You strike me as someone who would be really fun to watch a sports game with.
I am, and you know, I think some of it may stem from some little bit of a daredevil gene that I used to have when I was a kid, where it's like, if you were scared to jump that bike down those stairs, if you were scared of it, then that means you have to do it.
Yeah, I have some of that too.
And I feel as a comedian, if you're thinking about, I don't want to say that. I wonder what people think. Now you have to say it. Mm-hmm. Like as a comedian, you should have a little daredevil gene. You are going to get skinned up. You are going to crash that bike. It's not a popularity contest. You have thoughts. You can share them with people.
Now more than ever, because it's a threat of, you know, becoming extinct. I mean, it's the premise of your book, right? I mean, that is what we're all hanging on to, is the marketplace of ideas and the opportunity for a truthful conversation without fear of being judged or canceled.
Well, you know, if you're a decent person, like, I've always basically worked under this premise, and it probably hasn't served me very well, honestly. But my premise has always been, if you are a good neighbor and a good citizen and a good father and a good partner, and you provide, and you're fair with people, you take care of people, you pay people, you don't shirk your responsibilities, then in a way you can say almost anything you want, because those are just words, but these are actions, and this is who you are, you know. And I believe I'm very action oriented, and once in a blue moon, it's been a while, but my wife will go, you know, everyone you work with thinks you're a douchebag. And I'll go, okay, but they never quit. They don't leave anywhere. They get paid. They show up the next day. Like, I would argue that people kind of vote with their feet and they vote with their actions. And so for me, I feel like you have to be fair. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm so tired of people being nice but unfair. I need more fair people and less nice people. Anyone can be nice. You know what I mean? Like, oh, your hair, you look good. Oh, have you lost weight? Whatever it is. And then you pay the check when you go out to lunch. And even though you paid last time you went out to lunch, I'd rather have fair globally. I'd rather have a fair neighbor than a nice neighbor. Nice is just nice. I want fair. Fair converts to nice at a certain point.
Fairness is born out of the ability to communicate whenever you're in disagreement. And, you know, that's why I think taking a familial approach to conflict or differences in opinions, like always remembering that the bond of the people in your life prioritizes any sort of disagreements, is the thing that people need to hold closest to them. And then you have the possibility to have, you know, conversations where you're pointing out something that offended you or having difference of opinions, so that you can get to a point of fairness. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's my son. I just think we talk a lot about nice. Like, that guy's a nice guy. She's a nice girl. My neighbors are nice. Fair, man. Everyone focus on fair. Be fair. You'll be almost de facto nice if, in fact, you're fair all the time with everybody.
Yeah.
But again, fair neighbors are much better than nice neighbors. I'll take both, but I'll take fair over nice.
Do you care about being liked?
No, only if I care about being respected mainly, liked is secondary, and not feared respect.
Sure.
Because that guy knows what he's doing. He's good at X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. You want your daughter to think you're a great father.
Yeah. I like respect, and then if I like you, I'd be very disappointed if you didn't like me. Like, I've known I've been partners with Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Drew for 20 years. I would be devastated if either one of those guys didn't want to spend time with me or be a partner or break things off or whatever it is. I'd be devastated by that. Now Kevin Smith's a douchebag, and I don't care what fucking Kevin Smith thinks of me. I don't like Kevin Smith, but I would care greatly what Jimmy Kimmel thought of me or Dr. Drew thought of me.
Yeah, I think that's the juice in life, man. You should only care about the opinions of the people who you love and love you back.
Yeah, and if a few,
the rest of the shit's noise.
A few other people like you on Twitter, so be it. Ravi Patel. Four-part docu-series, Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness, and it's available now on HBO Max. Ravi, we'll have to have you back. We'll take a deeper dive into the psychology world, because I can see that's something you like, and I enjoy it as well.
Yeah, man. It's really good hanging with you. I could do this every day. Ideally, we get a few more stills next time. I thought you guys did okay, but I'm not sure. I have no fucking clue what the landscaping was like. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the budget. It's a tough time. We're in a pandemic. But yeah, man, thanks for having me. This is fun as hell. Let's do it again for sure.
Thanks, Ravi. All right, let me hit LifeLock here. The pandemic has led to a huge increase in unemployment claims. Sadly, con artists have filed tens of thousands of fraudulent claims using consumers' identities. The FTC has moved identity theft to the number one spot for fraud in America. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there is LifeLock, people. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. Go with the best. Go with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No revamped all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock and see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right. Just a quick 15 seconds for our friends at Simply Safe. Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Go there. Save and get free shipping. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Cesario. All balls right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, on the heels of the Ravi Patel analysis session, I did some soul searching and I wanted to apologize to all your listeners. Yesterday on the broadcast, I called the Las Vegas Raiders the Oakland Raiders, and I would like to apologize to all the hookers and professional poker players in Las Vegas. And I'm sure we'll have to keep this racked up because I'm going to do it another 17 times. Let's dive into the Bet Online headlines.
Can
Monday
I say
Night
this?
Football. Yes.
I want to make a confession, too. I called this Jamaican guy's hairdo dreadlocks instead of twisty bits at the airport. Oh. And I just wanted to get ahead of I wanted to do damage control and get ahead of this one.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people who are in need of soul searching, someone get the defib paddles for Gary Smith. The Chargers blew a 21-3 lead and lost in overtime at New Orleans, 30-27. The Charger kicker, Michael Badgley, hit the upright on a 50-yard try that would have won it and missed an extra point earlier in the game that would have won it. So, and he's nicknamed the Money Badger. Apparently, he's nicknamed himself that based off the Honey Badger.
Well, and maybe it's all the people who took the under named him the Money Badger.
Oh, yeah, it came through.
Yeah. He shaved they four are
like
points
the Chargers
right off that
are,
game.
They're like the WWE. Everything is, it's almost like scripted their demise. It's amazing. Every year they have games like this.
They had two. They've already had two of these, right?
Yes. Yeah, the overtime field goal is 50 yards. I mean, that's no gimme. You know, the guy banked it off the upright. That's tough.
Well, he kicks an extra point 30 minutes earlier.
That is true.
Well, let's not forget the team physician punctured the lung of the starting quarterback. I mean, you just want to talk about bad luck.
Best thing that happened to that team. Justin Herbert's killing
it. It's true. He's great. But still, in the pantheon of things that would fall under just bad luck, team physician puncturing lung of starting quarterback 5 minutes before kickoff, it will fall onto that list. Did should they be 4-1 or what should they be? 4-1?
They could absolutely be 4-1 right now. And Jeff, just a minor correction, it was 20-3 was the lead because he did miss that extra point.
Oh, that's right. My apologies again.
God, Jeff.
Yeah.
Not enough hours in the day for all these apologies.
Yeah, no, I'm stumbling to the finish line.
They absolutely could have won that KC game and they absolutely could have won New Orleans. I mean, it just
And two powerhouses too. I mean, that would have looked good on the resume. All right, Jeff, sorry, go ahead.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott released from the hospital after successful ankle surgery. Two-time Pro Bowler, was a fourth rounder, started fourth string, worked his way up, and now he's a de facto starter, of course. But the upside, it looks like a six-month recovery. So knock on wood, only this season will be lost and not his career, which would be remarkable.
Yeah.
After seeing what that was.
It was Theismann-esque, very gruesome.
Pretty gross.
Never want to watch it again.
Put a big get well soon sign in the front of his house last night, where he lives in Prosper, Texas, which is just across the tracks from Penniless, I believe. I don't know.
It's a sister city.
So he's going to be, you know, after what we saw, this is pretty amazing. It looks like he's going to maintain his career. And this has been here's the weird part. This was a year in which he was not signed long-term and he got the franchise tag put on him, which is a way franchises can protect a player who is approaching free agency in the next year and give themselves a year to try to carve out a long-term deal. Dak didn't take the deal and they put the franchise tag on him to see if they could extend this. And, it's almost prescient what the Washington Post was summarizing franchise tag. They said, while a tag player will receive a nice salary, it's only guaranteed for one season. And assuming no long-term extension is worked out, it delays that player's big contract for 1 year. Plus, there's the chance that player could suffer a career-threatening injury or underperform during the tag year and hurt their chances. So that's kind of what he's up against here. He will not have the rest of the year to prove who he is, and he will not have any time to prove that he's recovered from the ankle surgery going into his negotiations.
Speaking of the tag, it's not often that two dudes on the offensive side of the ball, especially the quarterback and the running back, get tatted up like Zeke Elliott and Dak did. These guys have been getting consistently more tattoos. Like every game, they get another tattoo. Like these guys... So a couple years ago, we're pretty clean, right? I don't remember all the tats on these guys.
To be fair, we never saw Bart Starr and Jim, you know, guys like that naked. So we don't know.
We
might have had a thing with Paul Hornung.
Let's say.
Can you imagine Roman Gabriel being sleeved? can you find pictures of those guys? They didn't have...
Young and Tom Raffin.
Tom Raffin. Yeah, they didn't have these all. I've seen Dax because he's doing like sleep mattress. You know, I guess that's redundant. You know, Mattress King commercials or something where he's like laying down in a short sleeve shirt. He's tatted big time. Zeke got the whole feed me belly thing, which is it's as on the nose as Sean lights out. Was it Perryman? Yeah, Sean
Merriman.
Sean Merriman had the light switch tattoo on his hand with a tattoo of a hand operating the light switch. Remember that one?
Yeah, very on the nose.
Very meta.
But the belly feed me one is pretty damn on the nose too. Is that what it says on his belly? Does it say feed me?
Yeah, it says feed me, and then I see the light switch one I'll put up in a little bit too.
Feed me! He is covered with tattoos now, right?
Yep.
What?
I think the feed me's in like negative space. Like it's the color of his skin.
That had to be a lot more painful.
Wow.
You go back a few years. I don't think he had any tats. You go back to childbirth. I know for sure he had.
It's highly unlikely.
Well, they come in the recruiting package at Ohio State. You get at least 13 tats.
Sean has how great is that light switch on his arm?
Yeah, it takes up his entire forearm.
Yeah, it's the best that cannot be missed.
That is
and in case you weren't sure who he was or what that was, it says lights out in huge letters above it.
And by the way, it doesn't even look good enough to be a prison tattoo. It looks like a juvie tattoo. Like this was done by a minor, right?
Rudimentary.
Yeah, it looks like art from like a young adult, you know, kid's book.
Yeah, you can draw too.
Yeah.
That was definitely not done at a licensed parlor, right? That was a party. A friend.
We got it in high school, right?
Yeah, he had it in high school.
So yeah, it's very likely it was a bootleg tat.
Somebody came to the house with their kit and did that tat. All right, let me tell you about Bet Online here. Football is in full swing, people. So MLB playoffs are here, too. You might not be able to go to the game these days, but you still get in on the action. Ravens at Eagles coming up this Sunday. Texans at Titans coming up. Rams at 49ers. Browns at Steelers. Packers at Buccaneers. All good stuff. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of the great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jeff, what do you got?
Let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. And despite their loss last night to the Atlanta Braves, the Dodgers and Braves are still even to win their series. The Rays, who are two up on the Astros, are favored in their series, -750 on the money line. Some interesting bets here. The NFL MVP, currently Russell Wilson at +125, Aaron Rodgers +375. Mahomes drops to +550. Josh Allen, the Bills' Ooh. Hot quarterback, +900.
That's a good
And Lamar
bet.
Jackson at +1200. So while we would all like a couple more games to shake this out, there's some interesting money to be laid there.
Well, you know, the Bills' quarterback, if he can take that team, and I don't know when they end the balloting, but if he takes that team, you know, into the playoffs or deep in the playoffs, that's going to be a big deal because, you know, Seattle's always there or seems to be always there. And the Bills are kind of perennial, you know, no shows. And if he brings that, the Bills there, it'll probably count a lot more than KC being there again. Yes.
I am almost positive they do the voting between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs so as not to count the playoffs. But if he wins the AFC East, if the Bills win the AFC East, and that's certainly on the table right now, that's a strong feather in his cap.
I agree. All right, Jeff, let's bring it home.
That's the Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online. Your online sportsbook expert.
Well, the great Tommy Lee's going to be joining us tomorrow, so that's always fun. I am going. Lafayette, Louisiana, has been postponed due to the hurricane, so new date will be announced. But West Palm Beach, we'll be doing live shows there, November 20th and 21st, I should say. We're also doing early shows will be podcasts, late shows will be stand-up, and we're also doing a live Reasonable Doubt there on a Saturday, so you can check that out. You can go to adamcarolla.com and find all the stuff you want to find. I want to thank Dr. Drew and Ravi Patel and Jeff and Gina and Bald, and this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Thanks to Bet Online. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. All the links and everything else are at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.